early on a Friday morning when Jesus came from the high priest Caiaphas' house. He was coming into the praetorium, where the palace was, where you had Pilate address Jesus. And he first addresses the people there of why they brought him. He said, well, he's an evildoer. Well, what has he done? Well, we wouldn't bring him if we didn't say he was an evildoer. Well, take him yourself and judge him according to your law. Pilate didn't want anything to do with him. But he wanted to say, if it belongs to the Jews, let the Jews do it to you alone. They said, we can't put a man to death without your okay. Pilate comes back into the praetorium and he begins to talk to Jesus. Are you you king of the Jews? He still wanted to give it back to the Jews. He said, Jesus says, I want to know where you're kind of coming from. So are you saying this yourself, or did someone tell you this? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, I'm not a Jew. So Jesus took it upon, well, I want to show you that my kingdom is not of this earth. I'm not in competition with you or your leader, Caesar. And so he said, well, and are you a king then? Jesus said, to this end have I been born, and to this end I am come and the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. I wonder what Jesus would do. I know what he did. He bore witness to the truth. And he adds that he that is going to hear him, is going to be of the truth, will hear him. He's going to bear witness unto the truth. And when he said that, Pilate replied, what is truth? What is truth? Today we are in a cultural battle for truth. And we might not be like Pilate, well, what is truth? No, it says, what makes your truth better than my truth? That's the way it works today. I got a truth. I have that. I have my truth, you have your truth. And if we can't get along, we can't get along. But the conflict is still there. And I think it's interesting that one thing we know from Jesus' life, and while he was here upon the earth, he came to this earth for a purpose, what, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's true. But he's also come to bear witness of the truth. And so we realize that it becomes tighter and tighter that these people come together. Truth and my truth, why is it yours better than mine? And Jesus' truth comes and we fight the battle, because we're in a battle for truth. We're in a battle for truth. And we can learn a lot by having in our minds understanding that Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, and we want to investigate that this morning in our lesson. And on the surface, I think that why would Jesus need to bear witness of the truth? Because he's already got witnesses that bore witness of him. We saw this in detail with John the Baptist. I mean, he bore witness of Jesus, Son of God. He is indeed the one that was to come, baptized in the Holy Spirit. John indeed bore witness to Jesus. Why did Jesus have to do that himself? And we've seen that groundwork where that was introducing Jesus to be baptized of John the Baptist. He was now going to be introduced to the world, and the Holy Spirit sent him right out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil and went to the very source of evil. So we can learn from that as well. John the Baptist did a good job. So humble. Jesus got increased. I'm going to decrease. But that wasn't the only witness that he had. Jesus indeed finds himself needing to, he said, I'm going to bear works. So we come to John the 5th chapter. And verse 30, that the works that have been given me to accomplish, they bear witness of me. After he speaks about John the Baptist in verse 34, he says, but the witness which I receive is not from man, that's John the Baptist, Howbeit I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that burneth and shineth, and ye were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works, what did Jesus do? The very works that I do bear witness of me. What are his works? Well, miraculous works. Well, that was a signified something, but he came to die. He came to be resurrected to accomplish the works of salvation. And that's what he wanted them to so that you may be saved in verse 34. That's on his mind, and he had these works to accomplish. But not only that, he says the Father, God the Father, he's also bore witness of me. That the Father has sent me. That I've been sent for a mission, works to accomplish. And the Father has sent me. He bears witness of me. Those works bear witness of me. But as we also see, the scriptures bear witness of what Jesus set forth. And so he said, verse 37, ye have neither heard the voice at any time nor seen his form, and ye have not this, for the word of God, word is abiding in you, for whom he sent, ye believe him not. For ye search the scriptures, because ye think in them ye have eternal life. And these are that they which bear witness of me, the scriptures. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. I receive not the glory of men, but I know that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I come from my Father's name, you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you receive. How can you believe who receive glory one of another? And the glory that cometh from the only God ye seek not. In between bringing his witnesses, he said, this you haven't done. You haven't believed on me so you could have life. I want you to be saved. He's driving them to the point of where their condition is, because he cares for the souls of men. Think not I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, on whom ye have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not the writings, how shall you believe my words? In the midst of bringing his witnesses, he appeals to them. Believe on me, have eternal life to be saved. Why would Jesus have to bear witness of himself? He didn't need it. But I came, I was born, and I came to bear witness of the truth. And what he was going to do is going to bear witness of truth that you and I, no man, has ever been able to know. Because he was sent from heaven. He was sent from God the Father. And what Jesus adds to witnessing, giving the testimony, is his own experience. He could give his testimony. This is what I'm going to accomplish on earth. I was sent by the Father. And the scriptures talked to me. Moses talked about me. John the Baptist has already brought me out. Those are good. He said, they bear witness of me. Notice in verse 31, when he started this, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, because you needed to have more than one, unless you're Jesus. But he gives them a plurality. Confirmation. My works to accomplish bear witness to me. I've come from the Father. Old Testament scriptures talk to me. Moses, the lawgiver, spoke to me. I'm the prophet that was to come. John the Baptist has been working hard to do that. They had no excuse to not believe on Jesus, other than the fact they're not going to believe on him. But Jesus bore witness. So what unique way does he add to what we're speaking about? Number one, the Father in heaven has sent me. I know from whence I came and whither I not wider I go, whither I go. In John the 8th chapter, in verse 14, Jesus answered, said to them, so here in verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's always talking about who he is. And following me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, if you follow me. The Pharisee therefore said to him, thou bearest witness of thyself. Thy witness is not true. Jesus said, I agree with that. In John 7, but listen to this. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Why? For I know whence I came and whither I go. Nobody else could experience that one. Because he came from God the Father. He indeed, no one ascended but he that descended, who's on the right hand of God, John 3:13. He added something because I know him. I know from whence I came and whither I go. He realized I came to this earth for a purpose, to accomplish the works that God sent me to do. And so he and the Father had that eternal relationship, but he realized I'm experiencing something you don't know. So he adds to the witness category of something that he can give testimony to. Secondly, he knows the Father. John 7, verse 29, he cries this out in the temple. He didn't mumble it. He cried it out. He wanted all to hear. Verse 28 says, he cried in the temple teaching and saying, ye both know me and know whence I am. I'm the carpenter's son, and I was born in Bethlehem, and I came from Nazareth. You all know that. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. You don't know him. That word is not, I got to know him, and I grew up as a little boy, and I got to know. I know him. Absolute knowledge. Because he'd been with him for eternity. Always been, the word has always been with God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They weren't created beings. They're God. They're one that comprised the Godhead, one God. He said, I know the Father. I cry that out. I want all to hear it. Because he was bringing something to the table that others not going to, they're just going to confirm it. But he's bringing forth that final point of what I'm going to believe or not. And Jesus makes it, I am from him and he sent me. And you don't know that. It's not Nazareth, Bethlehem. It's God has done that. And he knows that in an absolute way. The point is, you going to believe his witness? You going to believe his witness? In John the 4th chapter, a great chapter on the Samaritan woman, we've covered that in sermons before, so I didn't deal with that one, but I want to take something from it. He was able to sit down in a well and have a conversation with a woman as a Samaritan woman. You just stop culturally, that wasn't going to happen. He talked to her about the living water. He talked about who he is and who she was. Now we find the interest in him, not only her, but all of those who heard her talk about. They saw it for themselves. When all that was done, disciples came back. They'd been away finding food. Verse 31 says, in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat. I have food to eat that ye know not. The disciples therefore said, one another, how hath this man brought him all to eat? Anybody do that? He's already fed. Jesus said to him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. God has sent him. It's God's will. And accomplish it. We've already saw that. I came here to accomplish the work that the Father has sent me to do. And he states that I am running on my food of trying to reach as many people as I can to accomplish his work. And that's what I want to do. I'm going to have to die and I'm going to have to be resurrected. And he's already promised that's going to happen. It was Peter said, that's not going to happen. Get behind me, Satan. It's going to be accomplished. You're thinking like men. I'm from heaven and the Father has sent me for this particular purpose. And he's there to accomplish his will. Did he do it? That's what he planned to do. It's kind of interesting to me that when Jesus, before he took his last breath and died, he said with a conquering fashion, it is finished. It is finished. He had died. He will be raised from the dead. That's going to be important too. But finishing his will of coming to bear witness, while he was talking to them about who's bearing witness, he's appealing to them that they might be saved. It's amazing to me. This is where you're failing. He's bringing that home to them. And Jesus came to accomplish his will. Did he do that? Yes. What was it? I died. I said, that's what my mission is. That's what I accomplished. And when you look at those three things, and you begin to say, should I follow Jesus or not today? I want to follow him according to this. I don't what creeds and all that, all what men say, but I'm learning from my Bible that indeed this is put on me. Either you're going to have to believe that he is that lie of the world that he says, he's the one that can save us from our sins, that indeed he accomplished. He said, I've accomplished this will of God. I know him. No, where I've been, where I'm going. And that's the talking about heaven. If Jesus made those particular witness statements about himself, there's no middle ground for you. Because you want the truth, don't you? He's just a liar. Lunatic, crazy man. Or he's really the Lord. Liar, lunatic, Lord. Pick the L word you want. Eternity is ahead and it's going to affect you. There's no place of, that'd be kind of a good thing in my life, just to add a little bit to my life. No, he wants your whole life. And you'll never regret it. Jesus accomplished God's will. It is finished. He died for you so you could be saved from your sins. And he's provided that way through his death and his resurrection. Jesus doesn't give you any wiggle room. You can't sit on the fence. You can't sit there and say, well, it's fine. You're going to have to make a decision. And it's a good decision to have. You can base it upon, no, he told the truth. That's where he's come from. All the miracles, all of the parables, trying to get it down to our area of mind where we could understand the stories and are we going to accept the spiritual truth that lies in that. All the miracles that was confirming him, all of those things. John didn't do any miracles, but Jesus did. What a contrast. I'm bearing witness. Here's the one. And either you're going to believe the New Testament is wrong, but he's going to have to deal with Jesus. He doesn't give you a place where I don't have to really follow him. I don't have to believe in him that he is indeed the Son of God. Remember John 8:24? Is that we have to believe that Jesus is the I am. That he is indeed God. And if he's a liar, no, I'm not. But the point is, all this is confirmation coming that he is indeed the Lord. And that becomes what is a very important. To this end I've been born, and to this end am I come in the world, that I shall bear witness unto the truth. How did he bear witness unto the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father but by me. He just declared it. Exclusively him. You want to go to the Father in heaven? You do. I want to go to heaven. I can't go there on my life. What about you? We're not perfect. We've all sinned. But we have a Savior. And Jesus said, this is why I've come. And he's accomplished it. He doesn't have to die again. He doesn't have to be raised again. He doesn't have to go through sacrifice. He's the one sacrifice for all time. You don't have to divide yourself between many gods or many sacrifices. He's the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God, John said, that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus says, I'm putting my stamp. I know from whence I came. I know him in a way that nobody else in the universe would ever know him. And you say, I'm confident with that. So what does that do? What does that make us who say, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to follow him? This is what your life will look like. Because it's demanding as well. In 1 John, the 5th chapter that Avery read so well this morning, I go back there, and we'll come back to it in a moment, but I wanted to come down to 2 John now. Because here we see a life of the Christian, a woman, and apparently has children, and he's writing to her, called the elect lady. And I want you to notice in these first few chapters, first few verses, how much truth is being emphasized in the life of those who did make the decision to follow Jesus. So I'm looking ahead that you're going to do that. Here is what is in store for you. Here's just a letter. And John is writing to this lady. And what do we see in the very beginning? We'll bear witness that accept his truth. It said, when we know, this is how we're going to apply it. When we know the truth and we love the truth. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also they that know the truth. When you know the truth, you're going to love in truth others that know the truth. I know the truth now. What's the basis of that? I got a bunch of witnesses pointing to Jesus. And I now realize Jesus came to this world. He did something. He was bearing witness to himself to accomplish his work. I said, I finished it. The resurrection was ahead. So you just write letters and look how truth is prevailing. Because it's confidently placed in Jesus. Secondly, verse 2, for the truth's sake, which abideth in us, and it shall be with us forever. This is opening remarks to the elect lady. For the truth's sake. We live for the sake of the truth. We are to contend for the faith that's once and all been delivered. We will contend for that. We will battle for that, for what it says. And we live for the truth's sake. And it shall abide with us. Not going to be in and out. It's going to abide in us. Because we believe and accept that truth. And it shall be with us forever. Truth. Absolute truth. Connecting us from eternity to this temporal world, from one who's lived, was never created, to we who are created, and we put our trust in him. And he came to this earth so he could die, shed his blood so we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And we will defend that for the truth's sake when we accept it, because that's the truth we hold to. Truth of men change. It changes all the time. And we change our laws to accommodate it. There was a time in our country for 100 years, equal but separate. Races could be divided, just have equal education. 100 years, Supreme Court had that. And all of a sudden, Brown versus the government, and they realized, nope, that's not right. Segregation wasn't right. It wasn't what the Constitution is, so they changed it. for the better. Men's laws may go for 100 years. And so happens, I think that was something that was changed for the better. God's law is never going to change. And it will abide for us forever because He's God. And it's through Christ that we have that confidence because of His witness as well. You know what? We'll rejoice in walking in the truth. Verse 4, when he says, grace and mercy and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He's got this love connected with it. I rejoice greatly that I found certain of thy children walking in truth, even as you receive commandment from the Father. Where do you get the Word of God? Jesus is Logos. He was the Word that communicates who God is. And He demonstrated it. He revealed it in His own person. And now we can walk in that truth because we understand there it is. It's according to what God has commanded us, and we rejoice in doing that. And I hope tonight, this morning, that you rejoice in doing that because you realize there's nothing like it. And it's eternal in its nature. It is that which guides us into eternity. But we rejoice and walk in the truth and hearing about your children walking in the truth. That's a wonderful thing. And you know what we'll do? We'll love one another too. I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we should walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. That's part of we're going to love one another. Now, when you turn back with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter, begin to realize in verse 2 how we can always love one another. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do His commandments. Why would we love God? We rejoice that we have truth to follow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's revealed that. But this statement is saying you will love the children of God when, not if, when we love God and do His commandments. Because doing His commandments will always be a benefit to somebody else. In the long run, that's going to happen. Because we're anchored in truth, and if we don't have the truth, let us know. But it'll always be for the benefit. And this is where John gives us some more witnessing that we need to digest. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, we're looking all the witnesses. I think that's where I am. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. Kind of a strange way of saying that. How was he introduced? Jesus was baptized. We saw that. That's how he was introduced to the world before that would take place. Like he'd be in the wilderness being tempted of Satan. Satan, Holy Spirit brought him there. And so we realize that he indeed was one that came to this world, and there is the witness of water, his baptism, but blood. See, when John penned this, there was Gnosticism growing. It was not full-blown as it would be in the third century. But Gnosticism says that we are inherently evil because of flesh, and our spirit is inherently good. And one of the things that's going to happen is that God, who is perfect, could never touch human flesh, because he's spirit, and therefore the way we're going to escape this, that flesh is going to just be going away and our spirit will be saved. But they had that dualism about themselves, in the sense that now spirit is inherently good and flesh is inherently evil. They believed God could not have come in the flesh. And what does it say? Jesus not only made himself known through baptism, John's baptism, but of blood. He died. He took on flesh and blood. He became in the fashion as a man. He was God in a body that was man, so he could die. The spirit could be separated from his body. That's what he meant by blood. Because Gnosticism was brewing, and John said, he did, in the whole part argument in these epistles, that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. You got to believe he did. And John is saying he's there. And here's the witness of that. Not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. American Standard is going to leave a verse that you read this morning, but we'll pick it up. It's about the agreement in heaven. That's left out of the American Standard. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. How did the Spirit bear witness of Jesus at his baptism? It came in the form of a dove and abides upon him. John, you know that when this happens, you know that's the Son of God. That's bearing witness. Spirit. You know what is the Spirit of truth? For there are three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Holy Spirit picked him out. He was baptized in water, and he shed his blood upon the cross. It is finished. Accomplished. And they are all of the works that bear witness of him. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. This is my beloved Son, whom I well please. He that believeth on the Son of God, this word, drive it home to us this morning. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. Why? Because it's in me now. I believe it. It's in me. In my heart, I've realized there's the witness. I'm now ready. And he says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. God's not a liar, but in your mind he is. And that's why you can walk off and leave him. You can walk off and say, I don't have to give my life to him. You walk off and do that, but he's the only way. He's the truth, the life. No one come to the Father but by him. And the reason, because he hath not believed the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God gave us unto eternal life, gave us eternal life, and this is life in his Son. He that hath the Son, you got him? Believe in him. I'm going to follow him. You have the life. You will have eternal life. But he that hath not the Son hath not the life. It's about him. What will you do with Jesus? And here's a life that you will live, confident of heaven. But you get yourself right with God, and we're here to assist you this morning. If you need to make that good confession, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John the Baptist said, that's what I told you. And why would we believe he's the Son of God? Well, we believe his testimony that he came from the Father. He accomplished his work. Everything's been made ready for you and me to come along. Will I believe on him? Or will I walk away? Don't walk away this morning. Obey the gospel as we stand and as we sing.